Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Montana is cowboy country, where cattle is king and a can of beans complements every campfire dinner. Well, there's a lot more than just beef and legumes in Big Sky country today. In fact, the whole state seems to be experiencing a culinary awakening. Correspondent Ginny Pryor traveled with a group of journalists hosted by Montana Tourism to experience small towns and big eats. Come along and join Ginny Pryor.
The soup this evening is tomato with tarragon. Our salad is baby mustard and kale with radishes, beets, chèvre cheese, and a Dijon pancetta vinaigrette. Our vegetarian special is sweet potato croquettes.
I'm at the Emerson Grill in Bozeman, Montana. This was a cowboy town when I went to college here back in the 70s, but these days folks call it Bo's Angeles because of the influx of Californians and a lot of money. And what's the attraction? Montana's wide open spaces, fresh mountain air, and extraordinary skiing and fly fishing for starters.
I'm Robin Hoover, the executive director for the Yellowstone Country Travel Region of Montana. And Bozeman has changed dramatically over the last 10 years, going from a more agricultural-based, small, sleepy Montana college town to a very hip, urban type town. And the population is growing rapidly. And we've had, over the past 10 years, quite an influx of out-of-state people move into the Bozeman area. So it's not only growing, but with it, they're bringing a variety of culture and arts and different things. And so it's a very diverse community.
So I think a lot of us who know Montana and this area remember Ted Turner moving into the region. How much of an influence did his move here have on Bozeman, Livingston, the Yellowstone area?
It definitely led the, we'll call it the finding by the celebrities and business moguls that then followed his example and came here looking for recreation and second homes.
People in California have moved here in droves, and I don't know whether that's still an ongoing emigration, but I remember in Helena they even set up California flags downtown. So are you still seeing this migration of people from California to Montana?
Yes, we are. but not just California, although that's a huge part of it, but also people from the East Coast and the Southeast part of the states are looking for the opportunities to relocate here or to have second homes here.
Thomas McLean, son of famed author Thomas J. McLean, went to school at my alma mater, Montana State, and he's opened a successful distillery downtown called Bozeman Spirits Distillery.
I think that people love this sort of thing. You know, Bozeman has always been kind of leading the locavore movement. You know, even people that didn't realize they were locavores, such as our friends who have been hunting and fishing and wildcrafting herbs and jams. I grew up with this fellow, Wilbur. I mean, he passed away last year, but he would probably be 101 this year. And I grew up trailing him through the woods and wildcrafting jams and finding herbs and hunting and fishing. So I think this sort of thing has really been part of the lore of Montana, even before the word locavore was in our lexicon.
McLean makes vodka, gin, whiskey, and rum, and his Huckleberry Vodka won a silver medal at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. He's one of three distillers in Bozeman and a big draw to the historic Main Street. He's not far from my old watering hole, the Crystal Bar, either, which is still pushing $2 Pabst Blue Ribbons under the neon sign with the cow skull. If you come to Bozeman, you might want to stay at the Lark. It's an artsy hotel in the heart of Main Street with comfy accommodations, a cool vibe, and a gourmet taco and ice cream truck right in its parking lot. Our next stop is Butte, Montana, a once rough-and-tumble mining town that was home to the world's largest open-pit copper mine. Well, this town is seeing a renaissance, too. albeit much slower than Bozeman. The common thread between these two towns is the surge in interest in the craft of distilling.
I'm Courtney McKee, and welcome to Headframe Spirits here in beautiful Butte, America. We are a distillery and a tasting room located in Uptown Butte, which would kind of be downtown anywhere else, but our downtown is built on a hill, which makes us uptown. Butte has a really strong copper mining history, and while most of the heyday of Butte has passed, we believe that this creates a perfect opportunity to tell great stories about not only the Butte that was, but the Butte that is coming back. So what are the stories that we want to write about our future? What do we want to be for the next 100 years, right? We have this rich history of copper mining and, illegal distillation and the ladies of the night and, you know, all the other fun stories that go along with the history of a really male-centric mining community. What do we want to be next? And we're really grateful to have the opportunity to do what we do in downtown Uptown Butte.
My name is Dick Gibson. I'm a geologist turned historian and tour guide here in Butte, Montana. And reasons to come to Butte, Montana are all over the map. It ranges from some of the most incredible historic prostitution right up into the 1980s to an incredible ethnic melting pot with about 30 different ethnicities, ranging from Chinese to Lebanese, Serbians, Croatians, and lots of Irish. We also have a really remarkable labor history story as well that is international in its implications. The prostitution story in Butte reaches up to a possible peak number of working girls of as many as 2,500. That probably meant that Butte was second after San Francisco's Barbary Coast in terms of size of red light district. We kind of fight with New Orleans for the right to be number two. The copper mining here really came after the initial gold mining, and that was followed by silver mining, but it was really copper that has made Butte and put Butte on the map after the electric light and the telephone were invented and demanded the copper wires. So most of Butte's production over the years has been copper, but silver is really important in terms of our claim to being the richest hill on earth. The value of the silver is significant too.
And this is the world's largest open pit copper mine, filled with water now, very toxic water. Tell me a little bit about the plan for this. Obviously, the water is not going to be drained. I don't know where it would go, but it's 1,000 feet deep.
The water is 1,000 feet deep because they turned off the pumps underground when they quit mining, and it's been rising now for 33 years in the underground tunnel system as well as here in the Berkeley pit. We're managing it and controlling it by having a water treatment plant that will pump and treat the water in perpetuity.
There is some good news, though, coming out of this toxic
potentially
landfill.
Yeah, there are some bacteria here, and Don and Andrea Steerly are some biochemists at the University of Montana who are studying these little bacteria because they have at least shown preliminary ways activity against certain kinds of cancer. We'll still see what happens on that one.
That's great news. Since we're talking about mining, I want to take you to an old silver mining town in Montana where folks today are finding sapphires. But Phillipsburg, population 800, is more than just gems. Sunset Magazine has chosen this picturesque place as one of the nation's best reinvented towns. And for a little town, they've got some big eats.
I'm Ann from the Silver Mill in Phillipsburg. Our chef's choice this evening is our Parmesan-encrusted halibut, flown in fresh for us every week, and today is the day it's flown in fresh. We also have as appetizers mushrooms stuffed with cream cheese and jalapeno peppers, and hog wings, which are pork shank on the bone.
My name is Shirley Beck. I'm one of the co-owners of the Sapphire Gallery and the Sweet Palace in Phillipsburg, Montana. We have a National Historic District here for our community that has 187 buildings, houses, and commercial that are on the National Historic Register. And actually, we only have a 3.5 block downtown, but, you know, we're kind of a hot little downtown. It was a silver mining time and logging, and then it was manganese, and this was a big thing when there was lots of mining going on, and as typical of communities, it's boom and bust and boom and bust, and then it went bust, bust, bust. And so it was pretty empty and looked pretty bad by in the early 90s. And some of us, as we came to town, looked at these gorgeous old brick buildings that had been put here, not wood sidewalks and buildings that would come down, but big, beautiful brick edifices, because the people who were doing this in the late 1800s wanted to show that you could have civilization out here where there was nothing. We even have the oldest opera house, the oldest school, and the oldest jail in the state. So we went to work, a few of us at a time, and it wasn't with federal grants, it was with private money and lots of elbow grease, and we just started fixing our buildings and our facades one at a time. And I have to tell you that the funniest thing about it is the buildings that look like something is going on and that there's business in them, that's where the business went. People like to go to places that look like they're successful, so you've got to act like you're successful from the get-go. And then we started, with the help of the banker and the encouragement, we cut our own sidewalks, we electrified our own streetlights, we dug our own concrete, we put our own ditches, we put them in, and so we received several national awards, the latest being from Sunset Magazine this year in June of 2015 for being the best municipal makeover for our little town of 810, and that means we took out the competition of 200 towns in 14 states in British Columbia, and I'm talking Reno, San Francisco, Alameda. We are so excited. So come and see us, Phillipsburg, Montana, halfway between Glacier and Yellowstone.
Last stop is the artsy enclave of Missoula, home to the University of Montana. There's a store here that sells more Pabst Blue Ribbon than anywhere in the country. But today, we'll take a look at the emerging food and craft cocktail scene.
My name is Eric Ryan Simmons, and I bartend at Plonk, which on the door says Plonk Wine, but we do sell more cocktails than wine. The scene in Montana, this specifically, is beer, 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 draft beer everywhere for the most part. So you can get that everywhere in Montana or everywhere in Missoula at any bar. Here we specialize in cocktails, craft cocktails, squeeze our own juices, infuse our own liquors, all that sort of stuff, just to give the public something different, somewhere different to go. And we blend music, wine, food, everything together, so it creates an experience basically here at Plonk.
Plonk's menu features favorites like locally raised beef, ground in-house for its gourmet burgers. Like a lot of restaurants in Missoula, Plonk sources much of its food locally. It's a high-end experience for a town where the only eclectic food option used to be brains and eggs at the Oxford, a landmark saloon that dates back to the late 1800s. I hope you enjoyed touring Montana with me. Bozeman, Butte, Phillipsburg, and Missoula are just four of Montana's small towns that are driving the state's appetite for handcrafted spirits and locally sourced meats, fruits, and vegetables. There's a lot of young energy in these towns, fused with a history of hunting and fishing and foraging.
You've been listening to correspondent Ginny Pryor reporting from Big Sky Country, Montana. To learn more about Montana, log on to visitmt.com.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,